Okay, so we'll go ahead and call this meeting of the Rental Services Commission to, it is 2:36 on Tuesday, February 19th. Let's see, Andreas, do you want to go around and do roll call or just visually?
No, roll call sounds good.
Margaret Black?
Here.
Christian Bryant?
Here.
Ian David?
Here.
Christina and Laura are excused. Jessica Greenlee?
Here.
Alan Hines?
Here.
Katrina Holland?
Here.
Deborah is excused. Yoni Khan?
Present, here.
Mike Nuss?
Sorry.
Here.
Rules not here. Leah Sykes?
Present.
Excellent, that's everyone.
Thanks. So at this point, we're going to have a staff update from Andreas.
First, the meeting summary from last minute.
Oh, sorry, minutes summary. Okay, folks want to take a look at it. Sorry, I've been infected by little petri dishes at home called children, and I have a cold. So if I seem a little weird, that's why. Not that I'm not weird any other time, but. So take a few minutes to review the meeting summary from last meeting. And then in about, I'd say 60 to 90 seconds, we'll go ahead and take a vote to any updates or clarifications that folks want to offer to the minutes? Okay. Can we get a motion to approve?
I'll move to approve.
Wait a second. Jessica seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Thanks.
I'll abstain because I can't see them for whatever that's worth.
Thanks, Margo.
Andreas, staff update?
Sounds good. So the first thing, for the people who are in the room, you will notice that you have binders in front of them. So this is something that I talked about with, I think it came about from the check-ins that I've been doing. And so there's a lot of conversation around people still feeling like the commission is defining its purpose or its role. And so I thought as a grounding tool, it would be helpful for all of you to be able to reference the original city code that created the Rental Services Commission. So at the beginning of the binder, I think under tab one, you'll see the ordinance. It lays out some of the language around what council's findings were. In the second tab, you'll see the actual code language that establishes the Rental Services Commission. In the third tab, you'll find your terms, so the length of time that each of you are serving, as well as your bios that describe who you are that you provided with us. And then each subsequent tab will have the printed information for that meeting. We're going to provide those for you in these binders. We will figure out some sort of method to clearing out information, giving you a heads up in case you want to keep it. These binders are yours to use. We will be storing them. If you want to remove things from the binder, that's fine. But we will not be reprinting things. So you each get one copy of everything. Also, please do not make notes in the binders. If you make notes in them and do not read them into public record, then your notes are public record. And so we would like these to not have to be retained as public record because all the meeting materials are already online. I hope these are helpful to all of you. The second update I wanted to give is you might remember that we had made a commitment to the Rental Services Commission to bring changes to the affordable housing exemption to relocation assistance to you this month. We are not bringing forward those changes because we are not bringing those changes to council at this time. Plans to make technical, or not technical, to make changes to the affordable housing exemption for relocation assistance have been put on hold pending Senate Bill 608. The Housing Bureau is waiting to see what direction we receive from the mayor's office and council regarding any changes that might happen to relocation assistance in that section of code. And so until we have further plans, we're waiting on moving on those changes. So when we have an update, we will bring it back to you in whatever form that looks like. Which brings me to another council update. So we have been in the budget process, and you have all gotten at least some exposure of what that process looks like and what considerations there are. In this cycle, instead of the bureaus developing decision packages as they normally do, we've been doing them by directives of council. And so there are going to be three cycles of directives to develop. This is a recap because you got this in your presentation a few months ago. And we have just completed our first cycle and are in our second cycle of directives to develop. Following the first cycle, the Housing Bureau put together a requested budget, and that's available on the Housing Bureau website. I'll be sending an email to all of you with a link to that. But in addition to that, if this loads, I was hoping to show you some of the directives to develop that the Housing Bureau received. So it received roughly 11 directives to develop, and a number of them had to do with the rental services office. So, without that, is this what you were referencing in the email that you sent to the group? You had said on page, I think, 111 or
something. Yeah.
Okay.
Possibly, yeah.
Okay. So we received directives around screening criteria implementation, increasing staff capacity, rental licensing, landlord-tenant notices, universal eviction defense, in addition to converting ongoing programs to being fee-based through rental registration, some direction around the Southwest Corridor that related to planning efforts, inclusionary housing, joint office funding, and I believe rental registration expansion, which would be the procurement process. So right now the Housing Bureau doesn't need further input because we're not making recommendations. This is being sent to council. But I wanted to keep all of you in the loop, and what we told the executive committee is as there are opportunities for new directives to develop, that we would ask for input from the commission to the extent you wanted it, understanding it's going to be on a quick turnaround. So that would look like an email saying we received this directive. If you have any input, please send it to us by a deadline. And moving forward that way. Andres, can I just make sure I understand the concept of a directive to develop? So is it a request from council saying this is something we want to do or to fund, or is it asking the Housing Bureau for potential policy options or recommendations related to that topic?
It's a mix between the two. So it's an exercise where the council office says, what would it look like to have a rental licensing requirement? And then the Housing Bureau puts together a budget package for rental licensing requirement. And it doesn't mean that the Housing Bureau is recommending it or that the commissioner's office is saying it will happen. They're asking us to model what it would look like to do the program through a budget ask, and that will then be a tool to all the council offices as they run their budget projections and plans.
And sorry if I missed this. Is this something that's new this year, or is it? Okay, so, okay. And so then you wouldn't have a sense of whether this many is a lot or a little. It's just all new. Okay, thanks.
It is the first time we've done this.
So just to clarify, the expectation is that for the Rental Services Commission is for us to give input on what has already been submitted?
No, so what's been submitted is now the next decision step is with council. So it is up to council when they create the budget to consider the
decision packages that BEER has put together in conjunction with the total budget and decide what they're adding, if anything. So that is the next stage of decision making. It is past the Bureau at this point.
Yes.
I just want to inform the committee that I have to leave a little early to pick up my son. So if you see me step out, I apologize.
And then the last budget is that we are continuing to work with the Bureau of Development Services to find a way to bring the building code amendments to the Rental Services Commission. So we have touched base with them since the Executive Committee, and they have asked for an hour in April or May, preferably April. So we'll be continuing to work with the Executive Committee to find the best way to fit that with the work plan. And on that note, I would like to thank Megan from the Bureau of Development Services for joining us today, as well as Cynthia from Commissioner Fritz's office. They're sitting in to get a better sense of how the commission's functioning and how it fits with the work they're doing.
Okay, so on to rental registration overview. Matt?
Sure. I'm also happy to answer questions about pledges, if anybody has any questions. So I do
have a burning question.
Sure.
As far as existing so the request from council to submit additional program offers, do you happen to know if that is with the intention of replacing existing services, or would it be considered an addition?
It could be either.
Okay.
None of the directions to develop identified that they would be looking at using existing funds for new services, but it's perfectly within council's authority to specifically earmark a portion of the rental services office budget for a set of services. Yeah. So.
And the directive to develop included existing services, or?
So the rental services office budget's a little bit complicated. I've talked to you all about this before. We have about $1.6 million of contracted services, and we have about 5 FTE here at the Bureau that are working within the rental services office. Two of the FTE and $700,000 is funded with one-time funding. So with this new budget process, our base budget only includes what's known as ongoing funding, and it's just a commitment of funding the bureaus get that, absent a recession or some other major issue that creates a shortfall in revenue, bureaus can reasonably expect to have that funding level. It's kind of considered current service level or other terms. So that is our kind of our base budget. And then one of the directions to develop we received from the mayor's office, because we were working closely with the mayor's office as well, was to maintain the current level of service. So in the list that Andreas mentioned, it's in the back of the budget. It's, if folks want to look, it's 120 pages into the PDF. The Bureau response to the direction to develop of maintaining current service level, and it's essentially for funding those two staff and for maintaining the current contracted service level. And
both with ongoing and one time.
It's not specified, but it'll be a council decision whether or not to say, okay, we want to use ongoing to support this so we get up to the full 1.6 as ongoing, or if we're going to fund the kind of the base 900,000 with the ongoing funds and allocate another 800,000 to allocate another round of one-time funding, because council members have also expressed interest in a rental registration unit fee to help cover the costs of the services provided through the rental services office. So that'll all be discussions that happen at council at our own budget work session, the Bureau's budget work session, as well as in their deliberations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. And so if there are questions, as folks read through it, there's a number of them. email myself or Andreas, and we're always happy to help. So as far as rental registration overview, Andreas just asked me to come and provide some kind of clarifications and just an update on rental registration, I think in part from a takeaways from the one-on-one interviews. And where we are right now is there is a requirement in the city of Portland for landlords to register their rental units. It's a part of their filing of their business income taxes due this April. We did receive a directive to develop to request funds for a software system. And so the earliest we'd be appropriated money would be July 1st of this coming fiscal year. If we do get funding, then we will start the process to engage with you all. But to be clear, the Bureau will be procuring the software system and working with council determining what fields of information we're going to collect. So it's not your responsibility to design the system and the requirement, but we will be engaging you to get feedback in the process. So I just wanted to provide that clarification. So for now, we won't know more until we know if funds are appropriated, because the current registration requirement through the tax filing, it is what it is. And so we should know more by May or June if we're appropriated funds, and then we will start a procurement. If so, we will start a procurement process for a software platform in order to facilitate the registration.
Just a quick question about the current status of the business tax filings. I know that letters went out and there were a lot of, I just saw a lot of questions from tenants who had actually gotten those letters at their homes for their landlords. And so based on some of that feedback, I just wanted to clarify, because I'm not sure myself. There are some landlords who in previous years did not need to file business taxes for their business because they were under some threshold, but now they do and need to register. Is that correct? Like, has there any, in terms of somebody who was told before you don't need to register as a business, what, and I know nothing.
So
would they?
So city code has had a long-standing requirement that if you own rental property, you have to have a business license. And if you gross less than a certain amount, businesses across the board don't have to submit a filing. But they will still need to register their unit. So that just because they gross less than a certain amount does not mean they are also exempt from submitting their annual registration. So that will be new. So there are some folks that are that have a business license that have traditionally not filed because they gross less than $50,000 per year that will now need to in order to fulfill the registration requirement.
And then my second question is, for landlords who are renting out rooms in the home they live in, do they also need to register under the new
permit? Those are technically rental units, yes.
So Matt, the direction to develop, you were mentioning that the mayor submitted, am I correct that it's the one that requests $830,000 to set up the initial platform and then the ongoing maintenance?
So, yeah, if you have your budget document open, let me just get the number real quick. It is on page 119, and it's DP7682. So that is, the breakdown's right, it's a total of $1.5 million with initial funding for procurement and then ongoing funding for maintenance. And that would be the appropriation the Bureau would need. We wouldn't need $1.5 million it depends on when we execute the contract, but we do anticipate needing the $875,000 upfront for the procurement, as well as BTS requirements around project management and risk management. And then the maintenance estimates are $600,000 to $700,000. Per year. When we've looked into software platforms used by jurisdictions around the country, there's usually about a $5 to $10 per unit maintenance charge for cities getting software. That's what it costs us to have a contract. So, five on the low end, 10 on the high end. And if you're doing the math, you'll notice we submitted for the low end. So hopefully if we get an appropriation, we will have companies that respond to the RFP.
Yeah. And the plan to
release the RFP is when?
So we don't have a plan because we haven't been appropriated funds yet.
Right.
But if we were, the process,
assuming.
Yeah, the process would be we would draft the RFP in-house. And that's something we would definitely be engaging the commission on, not all the details, but the general scope of work that we're looking for, which is a software platform that can facilitate the registration of rental units and the collection of information. And then we would get in the queue. There tends to be a queue that develops early on in the fiscal year because of newly appropriated funds across the city with the city's procurement services. By the time we were up in the queue and went through all the steps, there's a few more steps for technology and software procurements because they can sometimes turn into quite costly endeavors. We would release it, we would collect responses, and then the city's procurement department has a RFP review process and standards that they've got, and we would go through that in order to select the awardee. And then after that, and that could take, I mean, I want to be very reasonable, that could take a year.
Yeah.
Not months. Probably a year because it's a technology contract. We would then need to negotiate the contract with the provider before we then executed the contract and actually moved to the configuration of the system and testing internally. And then after configuration and testing, we would then roll it out live. So, I mean, reasonably you're looking at least 12 to 15 months before we're into configuration, and then probably 18 to 24 months before we're rolling it out live. Just so there's a really clear expectation of timelines.
And I think from that came staff's recommendations around the work plan, where especially with the direction we've been given in the budget process, there seems to be more likelihood of making the decision on a fee level sooner, whereas decisions about information collected through a permanent system or the details of it are still, if funding was given this cycle, more than a year out. So there's a little bit less pressure for the commission to provide thorough input on those points, and so there, from the staff perspective, is a little bit more time to take as much time as we have to walk through topics and reach informed decision-making points with the commission.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think a question came up in the check-ins around the level of detail in the actual RFP. It does not detail all of the fields or all of the, it's a higher level requirement. So those decisions wouldn't happen until we start to do configuration, so after 12 to 15 months.
A couple quick things. You mentioned you're expecting the lower end of the 5 to 10 dollar per, was that per owner or per door?
Per door.
Per door, okay. It's neither here nor there because it's a different type of software, especially if you're doing a lot of building from the ground up, but for what it's worth, I was a little bit shocked by that just because our very much more inclusive property management software that includes a lot more tracking and services and everything like that than your system will need. It's like $1 to $2 per door. Mm-hmm. So it was just and a little initial shock that we're looking at, four to five times. So, and then I did have a question
on... Before you go there, our hope is that we're getting high bids because we're just doing bids and we're the government. And people tend to give us high bids.
Right.
And that when the actual RFP goes out, people will be competing on price because that's one of the drivers of the city's procurement process. So, but we have to submit for the appropriation for the bids we're getting, and then hopefully the same folks that you're working with will come in and say, okay, we really want to get selected and we know it's low price. So,
So, and then I was reading in the direction that approximately 126,000 units would be, included in the rental registration process. So if I'm doing the math, and I think that you said this, that's not quite $10 a unit in terms of cost. That would be $1.26 million. So you just kind of arrived at a number, I guess, in between 5 and 10 that you thought was reasonable for that direct, or that the mayor's office thought was reasonable.
It's not 1.2 million divided by 126 because it's the ongoing maintenance costs. So it's the 600 to 700,000 per year. So that's, and I think it was $5 or $6.
Okay, gotcha.
But that, go ahead. I think Leonie's been waiting for a while.
I just wanted to finish up the one that I was, then pop right over there. So I believe it'll be something that we may talk about here, but correct me if I'm wrong. Has there been talk on accessibility to the information? Like, is it going to be something where there's a public database that, anyone can go look at? Because, I mean, technically it's property information, which is already public info. Or has that conversation even been had, or is that something that we're going to be talking about?
So we haven't had the conversation about internally or with this commission about accessibility in the sense of what information is readily available on a website, without going through any sort of process. But I'm fairly sure that all the information will be public record. So I'm sure we'll have a discussion about what is at the Bureau or at the Rental Services Office just publishes with just their own initiative, but just to be clear, all the information we collect will be subject to public records law.
Yon?
I was just wondering, we're going down the pathway of deciding the fee structure and then kind of working out the substantive issues later. Is there any thought given to, and I think we, sorry if I beat a dead horse, I think we discussed it last week a little bit, by our last meeting a little bit, but is there the potential that whatever substantive categories of information any government body decides should be part of this registration, is there the ability to factor that into the fee structure? Like, let's say we set a fee structure now of, X, and we realize in order to properly use the registration in a way that's useful for residents of the city, that it's X plus 10 based on all of the different categories.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I just worry about the risk that the fee structure will have been previously determined, but yet the substantive requirements will require the software to be adapted in a way that could raise costs. And so I was just wondering if there's any thought given to that. Thank you.
So, I'm not quite following the what fields may increase cost. The cost to the owner, cost to the city?
I didn't word it really great, but basically let's say that the initial fee is set and it's basically for each unit you own, you have to give your contact information as the owning entity, right?
Right.
But let's say down the line, people are having conversations and they want to add in the legal rent. So it's registered with some public entity that this is the official rent so that when things happen down the line, you can track it from tenancy to tenancy or whatever. Or for instance, number of bedrooms, right? Like just basic categories of information that could prop up that could require expanding the software from what was initially purchased to what we later realize we want out of the product.
Gotcha.
That
makes sense. So I think for the most part, the whatever software we develop or what we procure, if we're appropriated funds, will have pretty broad configuration capabilities in terms of fields for collection, right? And we would probably, we've done similar procurements, not at the same scale, but software systems where we want to make sure that really the field for submission is just a blank field, mm-hmm. and we can configure whatever question we want. So the configuration itself would accommodate that within the existing funding. The Now, there could be some sort of function that is truly substantial that we have not considered, and in that case, I would anticipate that council would revisit the fee in light of that versus general fund. I guess I'll give a really practical example. So one of the directives to develop the Bureau received was, I don't remember the name of it, the technical name of it, but it was that all notices had to be filed with the city. Mm-hmm. So, excuse me, let's fast forward or just pretend for a moment. Now, we already had procured the software system. It was configurable, and it collects fields on the unit, the address, the number of bedrooms, the rent. And then the city council says, okay, we want to require that all notices are filed with the city. It's tremendously expensive. It's tremendously intense. But my guess is whatever software we procured would not have that capability. And it to be able to digitally submit notices, you'd probably need to add a whole module to the platform, either design it from scratch with the company, or the company would have something, but we have not purchased that module. And so then we would have to revisit the cost in a future budget and a future directive to develop. But for just the standard information, I think anything we procure would fall within that range, or to Mike's point, hopefully lower.
So I want to flag that it is 3:07, and I believe we're going to talk about service categories, which is a perfect segue. Do folks have any final comments to offer before we move into that part of the discussion?
In context of the ongoing, not one-time funding, long-term ongoing funding, that's to cover not only maintenance of the website and the registration system, but then also the services covered. Is that correct?
It should be.
The $600,000 to $700,000.
That's just for the website.
That's for the website, and then the other package for the $700,000 plus the FTE is to cover the current service level. Yeah. So it's the $1.5 million ask, which is the upfront cost and the annual maintenance for the registration system, and then separately is our current service level is $1.6 million in service contracts, and that's the disaggregation I sent out, plus the staffing, and that would require $700,000 plus the staff from City Council. Yeah.
All these numbers, they're not in our binder, right? It's from stuff you sent out in email.
Is the budget in the binder?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Okay, so it's in the PDF link that Andre sent out.
I saw that. I just wanted to see if it was also.
And I'm happy to sit down. It's a new budget process, and our budget outside of the rental services office is very complicated because it's a capital projects budget. But if folks have questions, they need clarification, I'm happy to schedule some time and sit down and walk through the budget.
Great. So with that, I think we'll move over to the service categories presentation by Andres, and then we'll move into the rental services brainstorm. Andres, it is 3:09, and you were supposed to be done at 3:10.
I'll go quick.
Okay, thanks.
So I think coming off of the previous conversation, a reminder of the commission's work plan for the next few meetings. So this month and next month, you're discussing services and service levels. So the reason we're having this conversation is, as you have probably gotten from the budget conversation, there's a connection between the services provided by the rental services office and the potential fee for rental registration. And so the approach that the commission and staff are taking for this exercise is to talk about what services should the rental services office be providing and at what level. And then in April, you've scheduled to talk about fee structure, which would be should a fee look? Is it a per unit fee? Is it a scaling fee that increases by a number of units or decreases? Is it a property fee with an additional per unit fee? So a structural conversation about fee. This group will not be settling on a final number. We expect that decision to be made by council. But the hope is that by focusing on the different services and levels of services, along with what a fee should be structured, we'll be providing recommendations to council as they reach a decision on a fee amount. So within that, we have put together an exercise to talk about services. So in the handout you have in your binders on rental services, you'll see a breakdown of existing rental service office services. We've used the categories of education, legal services, social services, housing assistance, and other. And so on the top half, we've broken out the existing services we have in education. We have services around fair housing, landlord training, renter rights, culturally specific outreach, affordable housing provider education. For legal services, we do fair housing, rental legal assistance, expungement, and FED pilots. Under social services, there's renter advocacy, expungement is listed again, rent assistance, and referrals to housing assistance, payment of fees, and health and safety. Under housing assistance, we have fair housing enforcement, health and safety, and relocation assistance. And then under other, we have policy and planning. So that's an overview of the services that are currently provided. Most of these are contracted. And the hope is for this group to think through what should ideally be provided by rental services office. So this isn't an exercise grounded in what's currently done, but instead a thinking exercise of what could be done. So for the first part of today, the goal is for all of you to, working with a blank slate, come up with all services you think the city should be providing through the rental services office. And to the extent that you can, try to categorize them by these buckets that we've put together. Then we will put those up so that you can all name the items you've come up with, any discussion. The goal we're trying to get towards is to get input on priorities. Obviously, we are working with finite resources, so there will have to be an extent of weighing the effectiveness or importance of different services provided. And then next week, we will try to get into a conversation to further prioritize the services, as well as talking about levels, how many households or people are being served by these, to ground a recommendation from the Rental Services Commission. So does anyone have questions on that?
So under social services, when you say referral to housing assistance, what does that entail exactly?
So when we get calls to the hotline for the rental services office, a lot of times people are just looking for broad service help. So our default is to refer people to 211 because that's the region's call center to refer people out. We do not have direct contracts.
On kind of that same note, just getting some clarification, what is meant by FED pilot?
So the housing or the rental services office currently has a pilot on for-cause evictions and legal assistance. So it's looking at what would it look like to provide assistance to people who are going to eviction court. What kind of assistance do they need, and how does it impact their housing stability to receive that assistance?
That pilot's still going on?
I believe we're evaluating it. So.
Yeah, that's a program that was being run through CAT. It was basically fast tracking people to legal services at the courts, and then what services would they need to be able to remain housing stable as opposed to being displaced.
In terms of thinking about what's possible, is it for some of the existing services? It's in the scope to talk about how those can and should potentially be enhanced, right?
I think the commission shouldn't feel tied down to the existing services. I think if there is a different way you see, let's take fair housing education looking, that you would describe how you see, like what should be happening. Focus on that more than how to tweak an existing program.
So are we breaking into small groups, or are we?
For the first part, I think we will just have individuals thinking on their own, and then we will come together as a group to share what we have.
Like quietly and then report back kind of thing?
Yes.
So I assume that means we're transitioning over to the rental services brainstorm from 310 to 345. Is that correct? Or do we want to hear maybe from public testimony as we discuss and then come back? Or Jessica, you have a question, go ahead.
I just was curious, it's for the rent assistance and payment of fees that are currently existing inside the rental service office, where is the funding source for that? I'm assuming that's outside of the $2 million or that exists currently?
I'd have to follow up on that.
So there is a large, we've talked about this before, there's a large pot of funding that the city and the county fund toward rent assistance with the goal of preventing homelessness. So there's an assessment process for people that will be at risk of homelessness or that currently are and they need rent assistance. And rent assistance is the broad rent, security deposit, moving, stuff like that. And so the goal is very focused on the goal of preventing and ending homelessness. And so we've talked about broad rent assistance. We would have to have a policy discussion with both the City Council and the Board of County Commissioners around where do we want to focus for our rent assistance, because a policy decision has been made to focus on preventing and ending homelessness. There is some short-term assistance that's part of some of our pilot programs. But again, to talk about it on a, I don't want to sidetrack it.
Maybe refer it out to other agencies.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's just fine.
To the Joint Office of Homelessness.
Mm-hmm. I was just confirming.
Yeah, okay. And I think it could also be captured in our health and safety relocation services for people that have really intense mold issues. They can get health and safety relocation funds.
Can you say more about that? Because I've recently referred people to a couple different resources for mold relocation and have heard that that program is not in service anymore. Like, where are they getting referred to and what are the...
Yeah, Andres,
I know nothing.
Andres is the contract manager, so I'll defer.
So we have a contract with Impact Northwest to do mold relocation and other severe housing relocation cases. So they are a referral-based service, so they would have to receive a referral from the BDS inspectors, Community Alliance of Tenants, the county's health office, the fire department, or I'm blanking. But they do contracts on severe building failure, on fires, and on mold, so inhabitability issues. And in order to get into the program, they have to meet some prerequisites, but then if they qualify, Impact Northwest has a case manager that will work with them to try to secure housing and does, in some cases, help with rent assistance and relocation costs. So it still exists.
And there's still funding available this fiscal year?
Yes.
So absent of like an inspector or something, basically, if they call Community Alliance of Tenants, that is one way to be referred, is that true? Because I mean, that's just the way I guess BDS would also be an easily accessible way. I don't even know how to get the fire department out to a place unless for mold.
So technically, CAT did discontinue the referral program as of this fiscal year. So we are no longer making those referrals actively. There's a discussion happening about what that looks like moving forward in the future, but we are no longer part of that program.
We can get you the list of the organizations, but yeah, it's you need to be referred by someone who actually assesses it and determines this is a true habitability, health, and safety issue.
And for mold, a mold citation from BDS is required to get into the program, and so at some point the inspectors have to cite the unit for mold for them to qualify.
That's something that I feel like is not, I have sort of incomplete information, but every time I've had BDS come out, even when there's serious mold, they say they don't test for mold. The tenant usually has to call for a private mold service company to come out and do the testing, and it's kind of out of BDS's wheelhouse.
They don't do testing, like a chemical test, but they do visual inspection. So they will cite for mold if they visually see mold in the unit.
Would you like to make the recommendation that that is something that needs to be funded by the rental services office, Margo?
Well, yes, when we come back after our thinking time. But I actually do have one more question before the brainstorm, and that is on the renter's rights hotline, Katrina. I'm wondering if you could tell us kind of the current
status of, because I saw in the report that we got that CAT gets about $200,000 for the renter's rights hotline and then $200,000 for safe housing, which I'm not sure what that part is for, but for the hotline, what's the current status in terms of renters who call? How soon do they get a call back? And where is that data kept, and is it accessible anywhere? To what extent is that meeting the need versus needing to be expanded possibly in this office?
So of course I'm going to say it definitely needs to be expanded, because we get an incoming volume of about 19,000 calls per year, and at this point we serve between 2,000 and 3,000 of those calls with our current FTE staffing. At this point I think it sort of depends on capacity and the level and the volume of calls that we're receiving, but I think we are between 48 and 72 hours turnaround time when somebody calls. We have seen it as rapid as same day, but that's generally if we have a low volume. But yes, it definitely does need to be expanded because it does not meet the current need.
Is data tracking restricted?
It is tracked in, I think Matt can speak to that a little better.
The Bureau has a data system called HMIS that collects both program level and client level data, and all of our contractors are required to report into that across all of our program areas.
So I don't know what other contractors use as far as their front entry point, but ours is service point.
Yeah. It's that's the same system.
Okay.
So with that, if there are no further questions, we I'll leave it to the exec to set a time on it, but everyone spend some time thinking through what services you'd like to see provided, and then we will come back together as a group to discuss. And to the extent possible, reducing it for now to a phrase or a couple of words would be ideal.
Andres, you know that's not going to happen. Just kidding, we'll try. So Christian made the suggestion that we do it for, do our initial brainstorm session for about 10 minutes in order to make sure that we start public testimony on time at 3:45. So let's reconvene at, 3:35, is that what it says? Yeah, 3:35.
End part one.